Hello, and welcome to Sobercast, where we provide AA speaker meetings and workshops in podcast format. We're an ad-free podcast, and if you enjoy listening, please help us be self-supporting by visiting Sobercast.com, look for the donate link, and drop a dollar or two into our virtual basket. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Have a great day.
My name's Danny. I'm an addict alcoholic. And, you know, I really don't know anything. I'm having a great time. And me and the kids played up until 8 minutes before two. You know, so that shows you the way I plan things. And we've been having a great time. And I think because of Alcoholics Anonymous and because of Narcotics Anonymous and because of Anonymous, I've learned how to be happy, joyous, and free. And I get into arguments all the time because I always say that in the morning, my higher power, I don't know about yours, all right? My higher power gives me a job. He says, Danny, your job is to be happy, joyous, and free today. That's your job, see? And he says, and I'll take care of everything else. Now, I know that you guys probably have a different higher power. I don't know what job yours gives you. You know, some of you, you know, your higher power says, I want you to suffer. You know, all day, see? And, you know, and other people's, I want you to try, it's going to be hard today. You know what I mean? Mine just wants me to be happy, joyous, and free, you know, and so I thank God, you know, that I've got that kind of higher power, man. It's like, you know, like I beat myself to death getting here. When I got here, it's like now it's how to learn how to be happy, joyous, and free. They promised me when I got clean and sober, they said, Danny, if you stay clean and sober, your life will get progressively better. It will get better and better and better. And it's unbelievable that like right now, see, my life is great. Right now. See? But it's like right now is all I've got. It's like right this minute, right now, my life is great. See? Now, I'm going to think about 20 minutes ago and I'm going to be pissed off. Or I'm going to even think like what's going to happen an hour and a half from now and I'll be pissed off. But right now, my life is great. And that's all I've got. And it's unbelievable, this brain that we have. You know, this mind that we've got is unbelievable. Its job is to make us feel good. That's my brain's job. My brain makes me feel good. But it works 24 hours a day. See? The only problem that I've got, it's done with the good stuff in 2 hours. See, now in 2 hours, it's done. I'm through. I got used up all the good stuff. Now, this brain has still got to work. See, I got 22 hours left. See, it's got 22 hours left. And it's got to think. It's got to work. So, it starts. Remember when you were 4? See? See? Do you remember what happened? See? And it works on that for about an hour and a half. See? I still got 20 left. See? And then it goes to 6 years old. And then it goes to 9 years old. And then it's 12. By the time 16, I'm a wreck. See, I am a total wreck. And I probably got about 8 hours left. See? So, my biggest problem, it's really funny, I heard this guy say, when you have a problem, you're the problem. And for some reason, that made a lot of sense. Because I've never had a problem that I wasn't viciously involved in. I'm talking viciously. I'm not talking like lightweight. You know what I mean? I'm not talking like, maybe that could be a problem. See, that's not like, yeah, that's, you know, So, So when I have a problem, I'm the problem. That's terrible. That is awful. When you finally lock into that, when you finally realize, when I have a problem, I'm the problem. That means every time you have a problem, that little voice says, you're the problem. See? And that's the last thing you want to hear when it's her fault. See? You're the problem. See? Or when it's their fault, you're the problem. See? So, it seems if I do my job, the job that my higher power gives me, see? If I do the job that he, be happy, joyous, and free, yeah? When I do that job, it seems like they don't have any problems. See? It seems like she's not wrong. See? It seems like everything seems to work out. And that's all I want. I've never wanted anything but to live a day that I never knew that. See? Now I did quite a few years behind bars. I know some of you have find that hard to believe. I did a few, you know what I mean? And it was like all I ever wanted to do was learn how to be happy, joyous, and free. But every time I heard that, I would think about somebody skipping across the yard in San Quentin saying, happy, joyous, and free. Not a good place to think happy, joyous, and free. So you stood mean, hard, and ugly, you know, and it worked. And everything that I was taught when I was young worked for me. See? It worked for me. Everything, man. How to be vicious, how to be angry, how to keep everybody away from me. All that stuff worked in every place. One of my uncles, my Uncle Gilbert, he died. He died about six years ago. Times go by. But he was like, this guy was like my mentor. This guy taught me everything. He gave me grass when I was about 8 years old. Gave me a fix when I was 12. I mean, we drank. We did robberies. We went to jail. We went to prison together. I mean, it's like this, you know, the way uncle and nephew should. You know what I mean? It was just like, you know, I mean, this guy was like my pal. You know what I mean? This guy was like my pal. Like everything. I mean, I idolized this guy. I absolutely idolized this man. You know? And I gotta say this, you know, before he died, he OD'd on coke. And the night before he died, this guy came up and he started making amends to me. Do you understand? He started making amends. He was saying about all the stuff we did when we were little and the robberies and he shouldn't have done it. And then I snapped, what are you making amends for? He said, you know what, I should have never gave you dope, Dan. And I said, are you kidding? Are you kidding? Because, see, I was thinking about Alcoholics Anonymous, see? And I said, listen, let me tell you something. If you would have never got me loaded and showed me how to smoke grass when I was 8 and gave me a fix when I was 12, if you not, you know what? I never would have been in AA. Right now, I'd be like watching the news, you know? You know what I mean? You're like a Republican, you know what I mean? What would I do? I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, it's like, it was unbelievable that I think, wait a minute, man, because I have loved my life. You understand? But you're going to have to understand, I came into Alcoholics Anonymous when I was 24 years old. When I was 24 years old, I was already burnt out. I was all right on my second trip to the penitentiary. I was burnt out. Do you understand? I had done everything that I was supposed to do. I don't know how anybody, when I used to hear people drink, I started coming around this place when I was real young. See, the first time I ever made it to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting was about in 1959. You know, and that was a mistake, really. You know, I don't know how that worked out, but, you know, Johnny Harris used to say it was previews of coming attractions, you know what I mean? But we belonged to what was called the party crashing clique. You know, and there used to be like about 20 of us, you know, like a whole carload. We'd be cruising around on Friday and Saturday nights looking for parties. And this one Friday night, right on the corner of Van Nuys Boulevard and Left Street in Pacoima, we seen about 20 cars parked out in front of this old house. Now, that means, you know, there's something going on in there, you know. And we stopped and went to the trunk of the car to get the tools necessary to crash parties. We got tire irons, bumper jacks, pieces of pipe, hammers. I had a case of beer, 3 bottles of wine, 1/2 pint of whiskey, and I was already loaded on Red Devils. I can't even say Red Devils without slamming. Red Devils. Damn. Every time you say those, you think, pow, something's going to hit you. You're going to get in a crash. Damn, second off, then just take them and crash your car. It's just automatic, you know. And so we go through all these cars. We kick in the front door, and it's the dumbest party we've ever seen in our lives. The first thing we saw was a big sign that said, "We care." And, we had just crashed the Friday night speakers meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, the We Care group. I'm standing with a case of beer, 3 bottles of wine, 1/2 pint of whiskey. I'm already loaded on Red Devils. And see, because when you crash a party, there's only 2 greetings you can get. Either everybody rushes to the opposite side of the room, that means they're willing to throw the party in your honor, or they rush to the side of the room that you're on, and that means they're not. It's real simple, you know, and so you got them jacks and them tire irons. We got, like, the stupidest greeting in the world. Hi, I'm Bob. It's hard shaking hands, carrying a case of beer, 3 bottles of wine, 1/2 pint. And I wanted to get out of here. I realized what it was. We've seen the baskets. You know, and that means church. That means anything that's fun is a sin. Anything that's fun is a venial sin. That's a misdemeanor. Anything that's a lot of fun, that's a mortal sin. That means mortal sins, you mean, no, you go to purgatory first. And that's like you hang out in purgatory for eternity. And then when that's done, you go to hell. And, I never quite understood that. You know what I mean? I've never really understood that. When purgatory, you know, like where they pick you with pins and stuff. You know what I mean? Then you go to hell. But, so I'm trying to get out of here, but you guys did that thing, what they call divide and conquer, because when I turned around, you had my whole gang in little groups of 4. We don't drink, you know? And this guy whispered the curse of Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah. And believe me, there's a curse. And the sad part about this, hearing this curse, is that as long as you never hear the curse, then you're just a drunk. See? As long as you never hear the curse, then you're just a dope fiend. But once you've heard the curse, you become a sickening drunk. You become a drunk talking about being sober. Work, that's the sickening thing in the world. You become the drunk in a bar talking about, I have 30 days. Shut up. Get that guy out of here. Nobody wants to hear that. You become the dope fiend sniveling to the connection. I'm going to have to call my sponsor. You know, he said, shut up. Nobody wants to hear that. You become the cocaine addict now that looks out his window and goes, my God, there's a meeting. You know, it's like, and what happens? This guy whispers the curse. I'm a kid, man. This guy says, Danny, why don't you stay? See, now he's asking me to stay in a place where, like, the next youngest guy, right, was like 140, you know, and I'm, what are you talking about, man? I got a case of beer, 3 bottles of wine, 1/2 pint of whiskey. I'm already loaded on Red Devils, and he wants me to stay. And I said, let me go. And he says, Danny, if you leave, you will die, go insane, or go to jail. And notice how quiet the room got. See, that was the voodoo of Alcoholics Anonymous. That was it. You're all screwed. See? I see. You know what? Because now, let me tell you what happens. Because, listen, this was 1959 when I heard that. I still remember that bastard. You understand? I still remember him. You guys, what I've just done, you guys that stay clean and sober, the guys that stay here, don't go out, you'll forget me. Loud mouth, shut up. They'll forget me. See? But you guys that don't, you guys, sad man, you guys will remember me. Die, go insane or go to jail. When the cops, let me tell you what, it makes a lot of sense, man. When the cops kicked in my front door. Pow! Wait, that's a lie. When the cops kicked in my mom's front door. Pow! Drug me off to jail. Shotgun right here. I'm thinking, die, go insane or go to jail. I could see that guy. Die, go insane or go to jail. And I'm thinking, if I move, I ain't making it to jail. You know what I mean? So it's like, I remember that this is like, you know, 1959. I still remember that guy, man. And it went, I tried this program 59, again in 63, again in 65, in 1968. I said, wait a minute. They're not kidding. Die, go insane, or go to jail. And I'm sitting there in San Quentin saying, they're right. They're really right. Now, I'm not the person that like got this thing like, wow. And a lot of us do. I mean, a lot of people that come here and just, whoa, it's what I've been waiting for all my life. I got it. That's it. And they're here forever. That didn't happen to me. In 1963, I was in the penitentiary, and I had better ideas than you guys. That's all. I had a lot better ideas. See? And I used to have all the good speakers come up to the pen. Because I started going to meetings. And it's really funny why the reasons, I listened to all the reasons why people came to the program. And I was beat. And I was tired. And my life was in disarray. Oh, they're really, you know, like great demoralization. I went there. They said there was girls coming. You're jiving. Real girl? Yeah. And we showed up Bonnaroo down. I mean, God, we were starched. I mean, and they were girls and they were fine. You know what I mean? God damn, they were fine. And I went to that meeting. You know, and it was cool. Great meeting. Didn't hear a thing. I just said, what's her mom? She's beautiful. That was it. You know what I mean? Short skirt, cool. And after that, it was funny. It was like the next weekend, my sponsor, Frank Russo. And I say that because he told me never to mention his name. But this guy, he says, he goes, Danny, all the way across the yard. Are you going to the meetings? I don't even want anybody to know I go to Alcoholics. Like, are you going to the meetings? Shut up, man. I want nobody to know, you know. And he was the kind of guy that carried the big book with the paper on it. You know, it says Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, if you take that paper off, it just looks like a blue book. You know, it's like, but with that piece, got the big little owl, signed by Johnny Harris. Who cares? And got this big book. Are you going to the meet? And then, are there going to be girls? You know what I mean? He goes, no, they're not coming up. Well, then I ain't going. You know, there's no, see no great, you know. But the problem is that I had signed the list, see. That's the worst thing you ever want to do in a penitentiary is sign a list. See? It's almost like the army. You know what I mean? Don't volunteer. But so because my name was on the list, that meant, oh, I will be there. And you know, I was there. I was there. Reluctantly, but I was there. And I was there again and again and again and again. I had to go. And it was strange that I guess I heard everything I was supposed to hear. Didn't make a damn bit of difference. I got out in 1965, I think I lasted about 100 days on the streets. See? And I got this program. You understand? 30 of those were spent on this program. 30 of those days I went to meetings. And I learned everything there was to learn in 30 days. Absolutely everything. It's not that hard. And especially if you're as brilliant as some of us. You know. Learned everything. Started disagreeing with people. Do I mean, here, I'd hear somebody with 15 years. No, wait a minute. Come here. I totally disagree with you. Yeah. I remember I heard this guy talk, man. This guy was probably about 3 days older than dirt.
I drank for 50 years.
I'm 20. I'm thinking, shit, I got 30 years left. See? I got 30 to go. See? And this guy talks about, I drank for 20 years. I was drinking scotch. And from scotch, I went to bourbon. I think that's a step down. I don't know.
I drank wine myself, but anyway, from scotch, I went to bourbon. And my business was floundering. And I ended up drinking wine. Damn, someone else would get up. I drank for 60 years. I'm 20. Damn, I got 40 left. I had a car. This guy starts with all the stuff he had. Everybody always talked about all the stuff they had. I had a car, a boat, a cabin in Mammoth. The only ever thing I ever knew about Mammoth was that I fought forest fires up there. Camp. That's all I ever knew about Mammoth. Never been up there before, but Mammoth, I fought fires up there. I had a car, a boat, a cabin in Mammoth, an Irish setter dog. I had material wealth. I was drinking scotch, and from scotch I went to bourbon, and from bourbon I went to beer, and I ended up drinking wine in the morning in an alley. And everybody went, oh, like, what? You know what? I started drinking wine in the morning in an alley. So what? You know what I mean? I couldn't believe it. And the strange part is to this day, I can go to that same alley. I can go to that same alley and I can see kids 9, 10, 11 years old. I can see them sucking on that glue in the bags. I can see them sucking that paint, seeing them PCP. I can see them shooting that stuff. I can see them drinking that wine. And they're 9, 10, 11 years old. I pull up in the Cadillac, lower the window, and I tell them, hey, oh, you guys are going to miss out on your car, your boat, your cabin in Mammoth, all that. See? Because there's some of us that had no social drinking careers whatsoever. And there are alcoholics that drank sociably for a long time. There's alcoholics that drank heavily for a long time. Then it says it. They cross the line into alcoholism. Believe me, when you're 13 years old and you're sitting behind Dale's Market and you're sucking on a joint and you're sucking down some Thunderbird, you might have a bit of a problem. See? Something is definitely wrong. Do you understand? When you're 14 and you got a rag full of glue going, there's something the matter. There is definitely something the matter, see? So when I see one of them kids get here, God, when I see one of them kids, oh, God, thank God you've been, oh, God, thank God. Psst, listen, now you can get that car and that boat and that cabin. And shh, don't tell anybody, see? Because now we got it all, see? I got here when I was 24 years old. I was in Solidarity State Penitentiary. I was done. Do you understand? I was done, man. It's like, when I was 20 and I was here, and when I was 18 and I was here, when I was 15 and I was here, it was like, you know what? Like, thank God nobody chased me away, man. Thank God they opened with open arms. They would open, oh, thank God you made it. The people that were around me, oh, thank God you made it, man. You don't have to go any further. I don't want to. Yeah, please don't let me go any further. See? So when you see one of them kids get here, man, God, man. And we get pissed. Now even like, ah, damn it, they're eating all the cookies. It's just, I know how we get. Now, see, I'm older now. Hey, how come they can't be quiet? Who cares? Who cares? See, I don't. I love it, man. I love it. I spoke in a meeting one time. I love it. I'll show you how, a little bit of my program. I was a speaker at a meeting one time, you know, and this beautiful lady got up, and me and two guys that I sponsor came up with me, right? And beautiful lady, she got up and said, "We have a really good speaker tonight. So for you guys talking in the back, could you take it outside?"
And everybody turned around and was,
me and the two guys that I sponsored. And the two guys said, well, screw it, we've heard you, man. We'll go outside. And so I was embarrassed. I had to walk all the way up, you know what I mean? I was dog-eating. And because, see, it's funny. It's like I ask people, man. There's a thing going. I have seen people that are real upset about social meetings. It's really funny, man. You know, it's like I've asked people when they come back after a slip, I say, what happened, Holmes? What meetings were you going to? And they'll say, Dan, the meetings got too social for me. And I'll come here. I got two really good meetings for you. One is in San Quentin and one is in Folsom. Very unsocial. Very unsocial. In fact, if you get two out of line, they might kill you. See? That's still very unsocial meeting. The kind you like, you unsocial bastard. See? See? Because we are not like social people. Do you understand? We would much rather sit around. God damn it. I'm just going to complain. That's us. That is really us. See? Everybody thinks we're like lives that we're not. We're not lives of the party. We were because people used to like watches throwing up. So, I mean, they used to like watches act stupid. But it's like, no, we're not. We're not like real soul. I don't want to go to them damn dances. You know, we don't want to do that stuff. See? And so, when I tell people, be social. Especially when somebody comes and asks me, will you sponsor me? Yeah, go to a dance. What? See? Go to a dance. I don't dance. Well, yeah, well, go stand around. I don't give a shit. We just go there. See? Hell, I'd much rather stay home on Friday and think. That's good for you. It's good for you because your brain's done with the good stuff, see? So, yeah. You know, so go ahead and think about it. You know, think real good, see? I've got a few issues I'd like to deal with on this Saturday night. Yeah, great. See? You know what I mean? See, so it's like, I like social media. If I walk, I'm going to tell you something. I've done it. I've walked up to meetings, walked in, and everybody's like, one of those guys. Yeah, I'll go to another meeting, man. Was too heavy, man. See, because I can't do heavy stuff. It doesn't work good for me. Do you understand? It doesn't work good for me. Heavy things is like, whoa, wait a minute. I'll show you heavy. Give me the money. That's heavy. That's heavy. Whoa, wait a minute. Adrenaline. Give me the money. That's heavy. The cops, all that. See, I don't want heavy stuff. Do you understand? I want real light, little bitty shit like, oh, God, I got a gas bill. Huh? Okay. That's all right. That ain't too heavy. You know what I mean? See? I got a... The longer you stay clean and the longer you stay sober, it's like the simpler this thing gets. Now, simple, remember, make it as hard as you want, man. Make it as hard as you want. You know what I mean? It's like I've never gotten a cake for anything. Anything but being clean and being sober. That's all, man. The rest of the stuff they call life. The rest of the stuff is up to me and God. And I always thought this program was to please me. See, I thought I'm supposed to be pleased. That's what I've been trying to do all my life. I did it with drugs. I did it with alcohol. Trying to please me. And it's not, man. This program is to please God. And every time it's a triangle that those bastards that started this thing, they made it to where unsocial people have to be social and help somebody else to feel good. Do you understand? I didn't come in here bubbling with love for my fellow man. Are you kidding? I just finished doing 5 years in San Quentin. I was insane. Do I like y'all? Spit on you, God damn it. Get away from me. I don't like anybody. There was people, I swear to God, man, there was people that if they were on fire, I wouldn't piss on them. Like, get away from me. You know? And they want to keep being pals. Get away from me, man. But it's like so funny. It's like the way they set this thing up is that the only way that I can feel good is to help another alcoholic. And that, in turn, pleases my higher power. So that, in turn, he pleases me. See, I get the joys of that triangle. And so, God, it's like when I want, this is going to sound really bad, but when I want something, you know, it's like all I got to do is start working with another alcoholic. All I got to do is start talking to another drunk. All I got to do is go to one of them detox centers and speak. All I got to do is just say, okay, yeah, 26 years clean and sober. And I got to call somebody with 8 days. Hey, you want to go to a meeting? Yeah, with me. Oh, you're waiting for a broad or what? No, all of a sudden, I'm taking this guy to a meeting. And I said, I don't know how he, I feel great. After that meeting, I feel great. See? And that's what this thing is about. Do you know? And it's just so strange. It's like the people that I always see, miserable. You see them. Coffee's too goddamn hot. I mean, Sam's coffee's too goddamn cold, this meeting. Who made the coffee? I mean, it's like, you know, just minute where everything is bad. And it's like, ask him, what are you doing? I'm working on myself. Yeah, of course. By yourself, no doubt. See? See? Because, let me tell you, see, an alcoholic alone is in bad company. Do you understand? Now, compounded by the fact that we're crazy, okay? We're insane. Now, and I hate, God, every time I say that, it's like, some people look at me like, really? You know, like, I'm not. And I'm sorry, but if you're not, you wouldn't be here. Do you understand? We wouldn't be here. This is part of the criteria of being an alcoholic, is you got to be like, you know, like the elevator don't even move, let alone go to the, almost to the top. That's the guys that want to be better than, well, it doesn't go quite off. No, it don't move. See? See, you come here, don't move. I used to love my sponsor, man, that Frank Russo. Because he, no. He explained it to me very simply. He started with, well, Dan, you know, the powerlessness of the unmanageable, Dan, your brain's broke. Now, when he said that, that works. See, made it very simple. So when I get up in the morning and I, brain broke, and it's like, cool, I'm all right for the rest of the day. I have a joyous brain. That's it, man. I'd be happy, joyous, and go from there. Now, I start the morning like that. Do you understand? That's the way I have to start. And once I do, it's like, come on, what big problems am I going to have, man? See? With God on my side, who can hurt me? And all I got to do if things get too rough is call another alcoholic. That's all I got to do. Hey, what's up? I just want to see how you feel. Yeah. Oh, good, you're doing good. Could make me feel better. See? And that's that triangle. Yeah. Everything good that has happened to me has been a direct result of Alcoholics Anonymous. Everything. Everything bad is a direct result of alcohol and drugs. Everything. See? And in 1985, I spoke at a Cocaine Anonymous meeting. No story. I spoke at a CA meeting. And when I walked up to this meeting, I got real angry, you know, because I got one of them, well, where's mine? They had this meeting at Cedars-Sinai Hospital, okay? And I walk in, and they got all these little Mercedes and these little Porsches and these little Ferraris. And I'm walking through, and I see this kid walk up, right? This one guy comes up with the open shirt, you know, hairy chest. Hey, little bad little Porsche with that little whale fin that looks stupid. And he goes in the car, goes in the meeting. And I mean, I started talking, I was speaking at the meeting. I was real angry at him. I swear to God, they looked like the people I used to rob. You know what I mean? All of them. They just all nice and dressed and. And I got real angry and I became a snob, see? But I became one of them bottom snobs, see? I started talking about San Quentin and about Folsom and about Bakerville and about Susanville and about Sierra and about Soledad and about Tracy. And I was almost saying, yeah, if you haven't been to the penitentiary 4 times, you ain't shit. I mean, nobody in this room had ever been in jail that I... I had it, got shot. I got a ticket, you know what I mean? But, you know, my dad fixed it, you know. And, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, and it's like, they're like blowing, and I just, you know, and thank you, and I sat down. After the meeting, this kid comes up to me, man. This kid comes up, I mean, this guy is like,
This kid could not have made it in any neighborhood near my neighborhood. I had nothing in common with this kid. Nothing. Nothing in common with this kid. He couldn't have ever been in jail. I mean, this kid could just, dear God, don't ever let this guy go to jail. And he comes up and goes, golly gee, Dan, I really identify with could I have your phone number? And I almost told him don't use it. You know, but I gave him my phone number and I don't hear from him, you know, but 90 days later this kid calls me. About 11:30 at night, he calls me. And he was crying. You know what I mean? And he was, you know, like, I'm going to use Dan. I really feel like doing blow. He said that. I really feel like doing. And I thought it was the cutest thing I'd ever heard in my life. I feel like doing blow. I almost said, why don't you go shoot some heroin? But I didn't. I didn't. Why don't you go shoot some heroin? Get a little habit going. Do some armed robberies. Go to the penitentiary. Get a little India ink on your body. Come on out and we'll hang out together, kid. And this guy, but he had that desperation. You know, that desperation that people have, you know, that only we know, that only we can feel. Because I can get in front of a judge and I can say, Your Honor, I'm through. My kids, they really need me. I really want to go, Your Honor. See, you guys start laughing. Do you understand? A judge would have gave me some money for, like, McDonald's, right? See, because you know, and this guy, that desperation, he says, please, Dad, can you come down here? You know, Jesus, 11:30 at night, come on, lighten up, you know. And I drank too much coffee, so yeah, okay, so I went down to this kid's job. He had a job. I walk on to, it's the movie set of Runaway Train. Do you understand? I walk on to this movie set. I'm like, wow, check what a weird 12-step call. They had this kid dressed up like a little convict, you know, in Runaway Train. He had him all dressed up. I told him, don't ever go to jail, son. Don't ever go to jail. And we're hanging out on this movie set. And he's cool. He's like, he had that support. You know what I mean? That's all another addict, another alcoholic. We're all right, man. And this guy asked me if I want to be in a movie. And I says, what do I have to do? He says, do you want to be an extra? I said, an extra what? You know, I've never been on a movie set in my life. He says, can you act like a convict? I swear to God, I almost turned around and said, are you joking? What is he? I tell this guy, I'll give it a shot. You know what I mean? My life studying how to be a convict. Are you kidding? I got papers saying I'm a journeyman convict. And so they give me a pair of blue pants. I wear them well. You know, oh, God, they fit me good. And then they give me a blue shirt. When I took off my shirt, I have a tattoo this big. And there's some people that have, like, tattoos that say, I was in the armed service. There's other tattoos that say, I love America. There's other tattoos that say, hey, my mom is cool. You see? My tattoo screams, I was in the penitentiary. Just, wow, in the penitentiary. Guy says, wait a minute. And he goes like this. I'm looking at him trying to figure out what damn neighborhood is that. You understand? I know them all of them. I know them. And he's giving me, I said, I've never seen that one. Guy tells me, leave your shirt off. So I left my shirt off. 1966, I was in San Quentin. I put this tattoo on 1966. The guy that wrote this movie, Runaway Train, he did the screenplay, a guy named Eddie Bunker. Staring at me. I don't recognize him staring. Comes up and says, is your name Danny? I said, yeah. He said, you know what? I saw you win the lightweight and the welterweight title up in San Quentin. I said, yeah. He says, I recognize your tattoo, man. Are you kidding? Do you want a job? I said, I got one. Oh, they're going to give me $50 for acting like a convict. He says, no, a real job. A real job. We need somebody to train Eric Roberts. And I said, yeah, shit, yeah. So
I think I'm still making $50. Do you understand?
I'm wondering why everybody's calling me mister.
See? And the guy that was handing out the $50, I watch him. He hands everybody $50. And he don't give me one. Wait a minute, man. See? And the next night, he gives everybody $50. Now, we did overtime, so we got like $80. And I check, see, but I work a good program. He didn't give me none. See? Next night, they made a lot of overtime, man. They got about $90. That could, you know, I snatched him in the parking lot. I said, come here, man. Where's my money? He said, well, what do you mean? Said, you know what? I watched you, man, and you owe me about $220 now. And he goes, no, Dan, you're like an actor now. I said, huh? You're making a lot more than everybody. I wish I was making as much as you. And all of a sudden, they showed me my trailer. I didn't even know I had one. Oh, boy, did I start talking loud. Keep your 200. That kid is still clean and sober. See? And I got a great career going. It's been doing really good. It's doing really good. It's so funny, man. When I was 14 years old, my uncle stood me in front of a mirror and said, Dan, you're worthless. He was like that. You're worthless. I said, why? Because you don't have a career. I said, give me a career. So he gave me a pistol, put me in front of a mirror, says, rob somebody. I said, give me the money. I practiced. I got pretty good. Give me the money. I made a great career in the movie saying, give me the money. Same thing. That's all I do. All I ever do is, I'm either a robber, a killer, you know what I mean? I've done about 30 movies where I'm inmate number one. You know? And it's funny, it's like my kids, they go to good schools and you know, we buy all the you know, good toys and all everything we want. Everything we want, man. And I got a great life. And they said in 1969, when I got out of the penitentiary, they said, Danny, if you stay clean and sober, your life will get better and better and better. Your life will get progressively better. They didn't lie, see? All you gotta do is stay out of the way. That's my biggest problem, see? My biggest problem is trying to fix stuff. I know yours isn't. Mine is, see? Mine is. My biggest problem is trying to fix stuff. I gotta move over and let God do His work. And it seems to be working, man, see? Seems to be working. It keeps on going. It keeps on working. And you got to remember that this is all I got. All I got is right now. See, every morning, like I said, every morning when I wake up, God says, Danny, here's your good day. I want you to be happy, joyous, and free. Do you understand? This whole day is dedicated to you. You be happy, joyous, and free. Now, I have got a good day coming. Do you understand? The way I mess it up is when I turn around and I say, all right, all that crap I did when I was 4, and all that stuff that happened to me when I was 5, and all that other stuff that I was 6, 7, and 8, come on, get up here. Let's trudge. All that stuff. See? I bring it. And I can even start working on it. And think I'm doing good. I can start working on stuff that I didn't even remember. Do you understand? I didn't even remember. And then it's become the most important thing in my life. I didn't even remember it. Yeah, but I blocked it out. It was so tragic. Okay. Get it down. Because they ran this thing down to me once. This guy used to say, discover, uncover, and discard. In the discovery, there is insanity. In the uncovering, there is insanity. There is only recovery in the discarding. So the problem that I have is that I discover something. Oh my God, look what happened. There's the insanity. And I'll share it with my sponsor. And then there's still the insanity. Now, if I have a sponsor that says, oh my God, I want you to get in there and work on that. Okay, I'll stay in the insanity. And I stay in the insanity. And I work on it, and I work on it, and I can get another book. Here, the survival. Get that book. Survive this, see? And my God, here's one. I'll get that one. And I'll work on this inner child. Now, I'll cross my every step with that one. I got the 12 steps. I am trying desperately to get along with this outer adult, all right? I am trying, and this outer adult has problems, you understand? When people see this outer adult, a lot of people don't even think I'm sober, let alone, all right? This, especially, I'm walking around anywhere without a shirt, and I'm, what are you looking at? So all of a sudden, this guy doesn't meet people well, see? So I got to get along with this guy, you understand? And it's so weird. It's like, once I get rid of that stuff, man, once I get rid of the uncovering, this program is not about how deeply I can dwell on a subject. It's not how heavily I can go into this issue. It's about how quickly I can discard it. That's what it's about, how quickly I can let it go. That's why they emphasize letting go, see? It's so strange, but it always reminds me, every time I see somebody working on an issue, see, working on an issue, and they're working on this, it's like, wait a minute, man. It always reminds me of like a speed freak in the mirror with a blackhead. There's some of us have done that. You know how. 9:30, we got this little speck, you know what I mean? At 12, we got a hole, all right? At 2:30 in the morning, we need stitches. 6 o'clock, we're being rushed to the emergency hospital screaming, no, there's stuff in there. It's in there. I know it's in there. That's what it reminds me. Discover, uncover, and discard. Let it go. Do you understand? And the quicker I can let stuff go, the better my life is. The more I can work on being happy, joyous, and free. You know what I mean? So if you're new, you know, if you're new, and you're like you're going to a lot of meetings and wondering what's going on, we're going on. See? It's like, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. You're right where you're supposed to be. This is it right now. This is all there is. And damn it, the most important thing, get my driver's license. It doesn't matter. It's just right here, right now. And I just said that because I'm crazy. No, because I remember. Does that work on you like some just flashy? I remember in 1969, the most important thing in my life was, gotta get a driver's license. And it just flashed into my mind. That was the most important thing in my life. Gotta get a driver's license. So I drove around for months without a driver's license. Brilliant, brilliant. Because I'm a genius. I'm driving a lowered 1959 Impala Chevy. Astro Supreme. I'm talking this high off the ground. Little steering wheel. Baby blue. Primer spots all over. No driver's license. The only idea I had was my parole plans. My parole. I got stopped every night. And cops, they say, you see your license? I don't have one, sir. What? No, here, my ID. And I give them these perfect. They go, are you stupid? Are you dumb? You're driving around in this car with this, your ID? Get out of here. You're thank you, God. Never got a ticket. Never got a ticket. Never got a ticket. They let me go because I was too dumb. Get out of here, you idiot. And get a driver's license. So, I don't know how this thing works. I'm going to tell you something, man. I have 26 years clean and sober. I know this. You make a feeble attempt at these steps, man. See? That's it. And let me tell you something. I hate to pop anybody's bubble, but none of you are getting a prize for working the steps better than anybody. Understand? Just work them the best of your ability. That's all. You know? And I've watched people really work them. Wow. Jesus Christ. I've watched people work perfect programs.
every time they come back.
Every goddamn time they come back, you see them there. Oh, God, I mean, my fourth inventory of date. I mean, issue.
Shut up,
man. See?
God.
Get here and stay, see? Because you're going to have to understand that they keep telling us, keep coming back. Let me tell you why. Because there's no other place to go. That's why. And we realize that Alcoholics Anonymous, we're the only program that does not have a referral source. We can't send you anywhere. When you get to Alcoholics Anonymous, there's nowhere else to go. Do you understand? We have crazy houses sending us people. We got places like Vacaville, the state mental hospital for the criminally insane. They got all kinds. Oh, yeah. And on Monday night, go to this meeting. Tuesday night, go to this meeting. See? And no, don't tell them Vacaville that you were in the hospital. You're in the hospital. See? See? Now, that is. So, to all your high bottom drugs, that's, you know, who we're bumping shoulders with. You know? High bottom, low bottom. I love that one. I love that one. God. Every time I used to hear that, I was a high bottom. And I picture somebody's butt. So, what the hell, man? Does that mean you never, like, threw up? You know what I mean? I love that, man. I love that, man. Cunning. We're like, I love that. What they say, we're like, that sign about the mind. Our mind is cunning. Our mind is like, we have this, our we're brilliant. We're supposed to be like geniuses, and we're supposed to be like all bullshit. Our wives don't say that. Psychiatrists don't say the cunning alcohol. They don't say that. My cunning alcoholic is pissing on my neighbor's yard. Went into the wrong house and threw up, and she. God. So the whole thing is, you know, man, we get here, however we get here, and we, you know, do this thing a day at a time and make it as difficult as you want. You know what I mean? For me, it was like a new lease on life. For me, it was like just getting here and saying, hey, Dan, look, the rest of your life, man, you can stay clean and sober. The rest of your life, you don't have to go to the jail. The rest of your life, you can learn how to be happy, joyous, and free. And have a beautiful life. You know, I'll tell you this one last story. I was just a maniac, that's all. I was insane. I did everything I had to do. I did the same thing you did. I don't care what it is. I don't care if you sat and begged the liquor store for credit or you robbed that liquor store. Man, it's the same thing. It's the same thing, because this program is not about what you did. It's about how you felt. That's what it is, see? That's what it is. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you had a shootout with the police or a screaming match with your husband or your wife. Same thing. Do you understand? Basically the same thing. Just what we did. And I was this maniac. And a while back, I took my two boys to Raging Waters. And we had like this beautiful day. You understand? We had one of those days, Raging Water. I ended up like a park with all these water slides and all these different things. Like a, you know, like a fun place. And we went, and there was like no traffic going there. You know, it was one of those days. You know, no traffic going there. There was no lines. And we get up, and it's funny because I get to the window, and it's like $19 a head to get in. You know, so my Danny boy is like way over the line. There's this line. You know, Danny boy was way over the line, so that was like. That was like $19. You know, me, I'm $19. And so Gibby was just to be cute. He had these big shorts, so he picked them up and he like kind of squatted down. And the lady just said, "God, you're so cute. Go ahead. You know, let him." That's $19 right there. That's cool. You know what I mean? And I mean, that was a good day already. You know what I mean? And I got this huge ice chest. You know what I mean? And it's full of junk food. I mean, it was terrible. It was like Cavity City, you know, ice Hershey's and stuff, you know, ice Snickers, and you know, I think Maeve tried to put an apple later. Junk, you know what I mean? And this police officer, and still, police officers react to me. You know, they do. I don't blame them. They do. I'm like the poster child. And see this guy jacked him up. And I don't got a shirt on. I'm standing like this. And this cop goes, "Hey, Is that a special diet? He's got that shirt. You know, is that a special diet? You know? I said, yeah.
All right, go ahead. You
know, guy behind us, you know, is that a special diet? And the guy said, no. So they said, well, leave it outside. So my 12-year-old says, it's a good thing we're on a junk food diet today, Dad. So we get in, we have this beautiful day, man. We had this great day. The rides were cool and everything was just bouncing around us. I'm about ready to go, and my 12-year-old daddy boy, he just, you know, we just kind of like got this eye contact. He just reached over and just gave me a kiss. Kissed me like right in the mouth. Yeah. Just kissed me. And he shot me, man. I started thinking, man, about what I was doing. I was 12 years old, you know. And in juvenile hall, was threatening younger kids and taking all their stuff, threatening them with bodily harm. Had a little gang, a whole, you know, little bugs, I guess. And it's overwhelming. My 12-year-old, he's 11, then he tells me, hey, Dad, you're the greatest man I know. And I'm like, wow. And my Gibby hugs me, man, and he says, yeah, Dad, you're the boss, you know. And then Gibby had this little dance he used to do. I mean, because he was a dancer, he's a hell of a little dancer, but he'd get like all crooked. It was weird. I mean, you know, he's got these big shorts on, and he's like, 6 years old, but wears like 34 shorts or something. He goes, wow, 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 you know. goes like dancing down this thing, and my daddy boy gets behind him going, bow, wow, wow, yeah. And I'm not going to be left out of no line, you know. Like, bow, wow, wow, yeah. And I got a picture of myself, you know what I mean? And I watched people watching me, man. And, you know, I watched dads wishing they could be like me. I watched parents wishing they could have as much fun with their kids. And I've got, like, you guys to thank for that. I've got this Proden to thank. I've got these steps to thank. I got my higher power to thank. And it's like, 'cause they've turned me into the person I want to be. Do you understand? I like what I got today. I don't know about any of you. I like what I got today. I like the job my higher power gives me. See? I like the job my higher power gives me, and I like the job he's doing. God bless you. Thank you very, very, very much.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Sobercast is ad-free, and we'd like your help in order to keep it that way. So if you'd like to help us be self-supporting by pledging $1 or $2 a month, visit Sobercast.com and look for the donate links. Thank you very much.